rain could continue throughout the night, but we'll worry about that in a little bit. Time now for us to bring in our very first guest. We've got Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us on the hotline. Michael, how are you today?
Doing good. Looking forward to digging in on some of this stuff.
Well, plenty to go over here, but let's begin with the passing of the great Regis Philbin, who died at 88 years old over the weekend. Boy, what can you say about the magnitude of his huge impact on the entertainment business?
I think it goes kind of without saying that he was really one of the most ubiquitous presences on TV in the last 30 years, especially. But this guy was on TV for over 50 years. He started in 1967 as a sidekick on the Joey Bishop Show. I saw one person describe him as a sick day icon for millennials, that if you stayed home from school, you always watched Regis and Kathy Lee or Regis and Kelly Ripa, depending on what era you were staying home. But he was just always there and really beloved, and such an icon from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. He had dozens and dozens of cameos in TV shows and movies, including Seinfeld and How I Met Your Mother, as a couple majorly memorable ones. He was also a regular on David Letterman shows. He had over 150 appearances, the most by any guest that Letterman had on. An icon, a very much a presence that was there all the time. And so he will be a big loss for a lot of people. I think that, obviously he hasn't been on TV regularly over the last several years since he retired, but still someone that just entire generations grew up around all the time. And so I don't think there will be another personality like him. I think that he was just a unique presence on television and someone who will be dearly missed and never replicated.
The unmistakable presence and voice of Regis Philbin, you're right. Those are very, very difficult shoes to fill, and he will most definitely be missed. Another reason why we need this calendar year to go out the window very, very quickly, because it hasn't produced much in the way of good news. Well, along those same lines, we've been hearing a lot about this Tenet movie. And I know this is a movie a lot of people have been very excited to see. This just continues to get pushed back here in the States. When realistically, Michael, do you think this is going to be released over here?
Well, actually, just today, just a few hours ago, Warner Brothers finally announced their plan of what they're going to do with Christopher Nolan's latest movie. They will be opening the movie internationally on August 26th in over 70 countries. All around the world, and then will be released in the United States on Labor Day weekend in select cities. Now, which select cities, we still don't know yet. It sounds like basically what Warner Brothers is doing is saying, we've been trying to get this movie on the screens for 4 months now. It's not going to happen the way we want, so let's go ahead and put it out in international markets that have opened, that have had the virus gotten the virus under control. They're able to start recuperating at least some box office money there. About 2/3 of the predicted gross of this movie is going to come internationally. So that's a lot of money for Warner Brothers to keep kind of leaving on the table while they wait for the U.S. To open up. So I think that this is probably what we're going to start seeing with the major releases, at least over the next year or so, that if they can't open on a wide scale here in the United States, what they will do is open small scale here after a big international opening. The question, why wouldn't they put this straight to digital? Well, it's a $200 million movie from Warner Brothers. Christopher Nolan, of course, is known for making big spectacle movies that are best seen on a big screen. But more than anything, that $200 million budget, it's just too much for Warner Brothers to keep risking, and especially put at risk of piracy if they were to put it online. So we'll see where it's going to be playing come Labor Day weekend, but at least now we have an idea of when we're going to get to see what has certainly been one of the most anticipated movies of the year so far.
Well, I am certainly looking forward to the release of that. That's something I've been excited for since the trailers. I'm a big Christopher Nolan guy. I loved his work with the Dark Knight series. So very, very excited to finally see Tenet when that hits the big screens. Michael, something I wanted to throw your direction. This actually kind of broke last Friday, if I'm not mistaken. A trailer dropped hinting at the return of the video game television channel G4 and hinting at the return of possible shows like X-Play and Attack of the Show. I know we had talked about video games previously, mainly with the Fallout series, TV series that might be coming. Do you know anything about this return of G4? Is this something that you think might work, or is it going to collapse again like it did previously? What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, this was pretty big news when it came out just like this past weekend. They're bringing back the network. It will be coming back in 2021. Still not quite sure what kind of format it's going to come in, whether it's going to be a cable channel like it was before, whether it will be a digital only or streaming kind of thing. But I think there's certainly a really good market for it now. I mean, since it left and really it, like video games themselves as an industry have gotten even bigger and bigger. And with the advent of Twitch in particular, it's very profitable right now to be in the business of doing esports and covering video games as a whole. So really a good time for it to come back. We don't really know a lot yet about what form it's going to take, what shows will be back, but certainly very exciting for gamers that they finally get their home back.
Always nice for the gamers to get their home back, for sure. No doubt about that. Again, Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. I've got to ask you about a show that I have seen so many previews for over the last week on Comedy Central called Corporate. Now, it looks very promising, although I don't want to get my hopes up too soon. What do we know about this show?
Well, Corporate has actually been a bit of a mainstay on Comedy Central for the last couple of years. It's just about to debut its third and final season coming up. And I saw it best described as kind of a pessimistic, dark comedy. It's about two guys who are junior executives in training at your average soulless multinational corporation. They're at the mercy of a tyrannical CEO and his top lieutenants, and their only ally is a human resources rep who's beleaguered by both her job and her exhausting relationship with the two leads. So it's really a very funny show. It's very dark, but it's very unique. It really sort of hits on, I think, a lot of current themes and a lot of current distrust of, big mega corporate structures and that kind of thing. Really a very unique kind of show and really one that has been a long string of Comedy Central shows that, they just really do a good job of letting very funny people use their own voices in such unique ways. We've seen that with great shows like Detroiters, the other two, Awkwafina's new show, Nora from Queens. They've done a good job at letting young talent just kind of do their thing and mess around with the comedy show format and come out with something original. And Corporate is certainly on that level. So definitely a show to check out. It's unfortunately one of those shows that's hard to get on streaming. It is available through all the Comedy Central channels, but not on a major platform like Hulu or Netflix. But if you do have a chance to watch it and get caught up, it is definitely one to watch.
Well, as 1 month wraps up and another one begins this weekend, a lot of people interested to see how things are going to change on the streaming scene. Netflix has a new batch of shows and movies that will arrive with the arrival of August this coming weekend. So as you take a look at that list, which titles on that docket do you think we should be excited about?
Things to check out in August, which is kind of a slow month for new things on streaming, but there's still a lot of good things. On Netflix on August 14th, they have a new movie called Project Power. It's a big budget action thriller starring Jamie Foxx and Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a former soldier and New Orleans cop, respectively, who team up to curb the spread of a mysterious drug. So that will certainly fill the summer blockbuster-sized hole in your heart. On HBO Max, there's An American Pickle, which we've talked about before. That comes out August 6th, starring Seth Rogen in two roles as an early 20th century immigrant who falls into a pickling vat and wakes up a century later with his great-grandson Ben, also played by Seth Rogen. That has a lot of great early buzz, as we've talked about before, and will definitely be a good one coming here in just a few weeks. On Netflix on the 14th, there's The Legend of Korra. This is the sequel series to Avatar: The Last Airbender. So for all the fans of that show, you finally get some more arriving on Netflix. On Amazon, also on the 14th, they have a show called World's Toughest Race, Eco Challenge Fiji. It's a made-for-TV adventure race hosted by Bear Grylls that has 66 teams from around the world racing across the jungles, mountains, and waters of Fiji. It's described as a mix of Survivor and the old ABC Wide World Sports presentations of the Ironman Triathlon. So that'll certainly be a really interesting one. And then to round everything out, on August 16th, HBO is premiering their new series, Lovecraft Country, from producers Jordan Peele and J.J. Abrams. It's an adaptation of the acclaimed novel about a young black man in Jim Crow era America who travels cross-country to track down his missing father, facing terrors both human and supernatural. It has like really great early reviews and a lot of great buzz around it, so that's I think going to be one of the major talked about shows of late summer. So a lot of good things in there. Of course, we'll see a lot of other new movies and stuff added to the platform, but those are five new originals definitely worth watching in August.
All right. Well, along those same lines, we can close out as we always do with the picks to click. What should we be watching this week?
A couple good things to check out. First, season two of Netflix's The Umbrella Academy arrives on Friday. Based off of the comic book series, it's basically the Royal Tenenbaums, if they were superheroes, ended on a big cliffhanger in season one, so excited to get that back on Friday. Also on Friday, for all the families out there, anybody who just loved the Muppets, they're back with a new series called Muppets Now on Disney Plus this Friday, so that'll be a lot of fun. And then also on Disney Plus this weekend is a major release. Beyonce's Black is King comes out on Friday. It celebrates black resilience and culture and premieres globally on Disney Plus. It's based on her music for The Lion King, The Gift soundtrack. And yeah, this is one of the major releases of the summer, one that you don't want to miss if you're a big Beyonce fan.
Good stuff. Well, Michael, as always, we appreciate the insight and we appreciate the time. And we look forward to catching up again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Michael. Again, that's Michael Warschauer, our Hollywood guru, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon.